Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen, coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. I'm your host, Garrett Miller, and for the next hour, we're going to be talking to Justin with the Liquid Crystals. And Justin was on the show a couple of months ago. Well, you know, it might have been longer than that. It just kind of all kind of blends together. But we had such an overwhelming response to the time that he shared with us, and we had just kind of scratched the surface on all the things that he's doing with Liquid Crystals, why it's really cool and important, and what you want to learn from it. I've asked him back, and this was the first date that our schedules could actually kind of gel together. So I'm going to be welcoming Justin back in just a moment. For everybody who's listening live tonight, I want to let you know that I'm doing the show a different way that I've never done before. I'm actually dialing into the studio tonight off of Skype versus a telephone line, and I'm doing this to check the sound quality of the show, just to kind of see how it compares to calling in with my headset and stuff like that. So if you're a regular listener to the show and think that it sounds better, let me know. If you think it sounds like garbage, let me know that too. I'm just trying to find ways to make sure that we deliver the best quality sound to you as you're listening to the program. Real quick, preview for the rest of the week, just to let you know what's going on. On tomorrow's show, we've got psychic Lisa Pini. She's going to be on the show at 4 p.m. Pacific time, that's 6 Central, and she'll be taking your calls live. Thursday, we've got the Sydney Surfer, Mr. Mark DePena, back, and he's going to be reading his poetry and sharing thoughts on life on the world down under. And then Friday, at a special start time of noon Pacific time, we've got Adrian Stiles. And Adrian is an artist out of the UK, and we're doing this just to make sure that it's not 3 in the morning when we do the show when we have the guest on. So Friday at noon Pacific time, we're going to have Adrian Stiles on the show in hour number one and hour number two. Of course, it's always listener request, and love having you on the show. So if you want to tune in, those are some scheduling updates for the rest of the week. Hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend and you did something fun with your family and friends. If you want to call in and talk about that later tonight, you're welcome to do so. Our hotline, of course, is 323-657-1493. That's the hotline. You can call in any time. And let's see, without any further ado, I want to bring Justin back onto the show and welcome him back. Justin, you're also calling from down under. So what part of Australia are you in again?
We're on the Gold Coast today, enjoying the sunshine, looking out at the water. It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Now, is it true that you're getting ready to head into your winter months, so it's going to be a little bit colder there right now?
Yeah, it's pretty much as cold as it gets at the moment. So, and that's pretty good. Up here, it's pretty good. Sydney, Melbourne, and a little bit further south, it gets a bit colder than where we are, but this is pretty cool. It's good for me being a surfer. It's when everyone decides to stay out of the water. So that suits me just fine.
I love it. I love it. Well, when we had you on, and forgive me for not having the date that you were on before, but we just had such an overwhelming response to when you came on to talk about Liquid Crystals. I was thinking, we didn't even begin to talk in any depth, at least I didn't think so, in the time that we had together, and it was just really important to have you back and to continue the dialogue. But for anybody who missed the conversation before, and sometime today I'll go back and I'll find that, and I'll post the link on Facebook for you if you want to go back and listen to episode one, or if you're listening just here on Blog Talk, you can go back and search the archives. But Justin, can you do us a favor and tell us a little bit about Liquid Crystals and what they are and the time it took to have them revealed to you and so forth, and we'll get into all the other fun stuff that you're doing.
Yeah, sure. I guess, to give it a really quick overview and sort of get us up to where we were kind of looking. The first thing that sort of jumps in everybody's head, when you say liquid crystal, people sort of think of their television and LCD screens and things like that. That's not really what we're doing. A liquid crystal, and to be straight, I have to call them liquid crystals because they are a crystal, like a mineral or a crystal you'd see in a crystal shop. However, they are in liquid form, and people are really confused about that, because once something's in liquid form, the definition of a crystal is that it has to have, a geometric exact pattern to it. And when something becomes liquid, it loses its ability to do that. So a lot of people get confused about, you know, how can this thing be a liquid crystal? Well, what a liquid crystal is, it's actually based on the memory matrix of water and its ability to actually memorize and hold on to geometric structure. And what we've actually found a way to do, basically, is replicate the inner structure of a crystal, make it, well, basically encourage water and alcohol to hang on to that exact structure. And what actually happens, it's less of a vibrational remedy and more basically of a geometric remedy, whereby when we put it into the body actually recognizes it as a recipe, and the body generates, using its own frequency and its own vibration, it actually recreates the crystal in somebody's blood. And by doing that, alters someone's frequency around the body. So when we use the term liquid crystal, we are actually referring to a liquid that contains a geometric recipe in it that everyone's body is familiar with, you know. And I guess the next big question is, well, how many liquid crystals are there? There are actually 77 liquid crystals at the base level of what we do. And those 77 liquid crystals are based on the 77 most, I suppose, obvious and easily found minerals in the human body. And therefore, of course, they're the ones that sometimes are deficient in certain cases and in certain things. If I have a client, for example, back in the day when I used to treat a lot of people, I don't have a lot of time for that anymore, unfortunately, because it's where I'd rather be working. If I had someone come to see me that had migraine headaches, I know by the understanding of the minerals that are supposed to be active and working in that person's blood that if I treat that person, for example, with dioptase, which is actually a crystal or a mineral, and I break that down into its mineral components, using my nutrition background, if I was to pull those same supplements out, those exact minerals, and supplement that person's diet with those physically, the same thing would occur, whereby with dioxide, we would get somewhat of a remedy to the migraine headaches. If we use the minerals, we get a remedy to it too. The only difference is that when we use a crystal or a vibrational-based medicine, and we can go to that deeper or, if you like, more spiritual level with something, we usually get a more fundamental, a more fulfilling, a more holistic effect. So usually when something is cured with a vibrational therapy, it doesn't come back. However, when we actually cure things with foods, with herbs, with other things like that, there is a good chance that they'll come back because we haven't treated the ailment on every single level. Remembering, and I think a lot of people get a little bit lost with the way that we create disease in our body, you know, if we are creating disease, it has to be brought from a vibrational self into the physical world, you know. And I joke with people sometimes that the hardest thing about disease is actually creating it. You know, curing it is the easy part. People work so, so hard to be sick, you know. And I know that sounds really silly, but if someone has a flaw way, way out in their energetic field and they don't pick up, perhaps don't perceive that that is something they're doing, you know, it can be something so minor, you know, the way that they hold their pen even can be, you know, a catalyst to a serious illness because that person doesn't actually recognize they're lacking a part of themselves the way they do that. And when you look at the subtleties of illness and how it presents, something so small can create something so big. So we have to, first of all, celebrate our ability to create such a nightmare out of something so small. And then once we can celebrate that, the path to cure becomes very, very easy. I think probably the other confusing thing about a liquid crystal for a lot of people is that we have a thought whereby we believe that when we put something, you know, if we have an ailment or something that's going wrong in our life, and it doesn't have to be something physical, it can be mental, emotional, it can even be a spiritual issue for us. If we have that going on, we have this mentality that we have to put something into the body to actually make change happen, you know. And I come from a very different idea that we don't actually have to put something in there, we just have to activate the parts that are asleep, you know. I don't think there's a person anywhere in the world that is different to myself or different to any other person, but I think there are parts of me that are asleep and parts of other people that are awake, and those parts that are sleeping or awake basically determine, you know, how healthy we are on certain levels. And the liquid crystals are good in the regard that they are designed to not put something different. I'm not a believer that you can put a vibration into someone's body. I believe someone creates their own vibration and is in charge of their own self. And what that actually means is that there is nothing that I can do to make you feel or think anything. I can help you to do that by basically giving you certain signs and symptoms and trying to trick you into thinking a certain way or feeling a certain way. But you still have to do it yourself. So in putting the liquid crystals together, one of the most, I suppose, important things for me was that everything had to happen within the person. And so what really separates the liquid crystals from a lot of things is, and by things I mean modalities and other healing paths, is that what we're actually doing is offering the body a recipe and asking the body to do the work. You know, we're not putting anything in there. We're basically saying that this is what you're supposed to be able to do with the minerals you have in your blood. And what we want you to do right now is activate these particular minerals. When the body sees that blueprint or that recipe, it can't help but actually activate the blood at that level, because ultimately we're all searching to become whole again. And when a part of us is sleeping, the body knows that the pathway to fulfillment is to actually activate that sleeping part. So by basically, you know, and that does mean, because usually the question that flows on with that, you know, if I'm facilitating a course or doing something, someone will put up their hand and they'll say, well, there's 77 liquid crystals. Does that mean that if I sit down this afternoon and take all 77, that I'll become a fulfilled being and, you know, be God here on the earth? Well, yeah, it does for a moment, until you go about creating all of the turmoil that you actually created in the first place. And so, you know, faster than you could actually create perfection, we usually create our illness and the negative pathways in our life. So it's, you know, it's a catch-22 of sorts. You know, you can provide the body with recipes continuously to heal itself, but you can't provide itself and provide it with 77 different remedies fast enough for it to actually take hold and defeat just how powerful we are as creators. So, you know, in the end, if the liquid crystals were designed and are designed appropriately to do what I'm saying, then yes, taking the 77 liquid crystals over a period of time should result in absolute health for someone. And that should actually start at a physical level and wander outward through the energy bodies, allowing someone eventually to become a very spiritual being here on the earth. You know, I believe our society has evolved to make us, well, to make the way we live more compatible with the way the earth actually heals us. We have increasingly put so much money into our ability to travel and get places faster and quicker and be more comfortable in those places. It's one of the fundamental bases of development in technology for the human race. And no one ever seems to say why. You know, why is it important for me to be able to get from here to Brazil fast? And yet the human race is geared towards doing that. Maybe it's just so I can be and put my feet, you know, get rid of the shoes, put my feet on the sand, where, you know, where some of the most beautiful amethysts in the world comes from. And if I do that, that message, that geometric, that if you like, that recipe is heard by my blood. I believe that's why all of us as human beings at certain times in our life get the travel bug and just want to go out there and do something, you know. We've just got to go somewhere, you know. And for that same reason, all of us too usually have a special place, a space, you know, where we become fulfilled. You know, it can be a special tree or a special mountain or even a place in a country somewhere. But it's for all of us, that is, I guess, a place where our body really needs the minerals that are in that earth. And that's what I've come to believe. You know, I mean, even children eat dirt until we tell them it's dirty. And then they swap. elephants travel. You know, a number of people know this about elephants, but they travel from one side of Africa to the other just to reach a certain cave whereby they eat minerals off the wall. And, you know, if you go back in history, every indigenous tribe, every indigenous people has actually done that. You know, salts and, you know, mineral salts have been incredibly important in the diet. So it's, you know, I think in today's society where the minerals are increasingly lacking in our soils, particularly the bridging minerals, you know, the big ones that link things together, you know, we need to find some other catalyst, some other way whereby we can activate ourselves spiritually, geometrically, you know, physically, whichever way you wanted to look at it, so that all of our messages become whole, you know. So I think, you know, that gives you a bit of an overview of why a liquid crystal would be important. Putting them together is a different task altogether. And took many years to actually do, and I, you know, I still credit everything that the liquid crystals is down to a single ruby that was given to me at a Tibetan monastery, the star of Gobara, and she was given to me for basically for 11 years. And you know, on that 11th year, I actually attempted to return her back. I gave her back to where she was supposed to go. And after traveling all the way over there and coming back, I think it was about 3 months later, I opened my bedside drawer and the stone was in there. So,
oh my gosh,
it somehow found its way back. You know, you sort of think it's not really worth the effort. Not really worth the effort. So you sort of wonder, well, what do you do with that now? And you know, the message is for me to now turn the stone over and work with the backside of the stone, and that then takes the work to another level. You know, it's a very interesting thing. You know, you hear people talk, I think, about Atlantis or Lemuria and these ancient civilizations that existed. You know, I'm a real believer in that. I believe that they did exist. But they exist in a different, if you like, frequency to what we're currently in. And we've actually, well, I shouldn't say to what we're currently in, because in 2012, we moved back into that frequency where the Atlantean and Lemurian worlds once existed. So the relics, the ways, the important disciplines of those particular things or those particular cultures are going to start to come to the surface, you know, and we've seen a lot of that, you know, lots and lots of it. A lot of people are going back to Egypt, they have a craving to go and sit next to a pyramid. They're starting to work out, you know, in the world very slowly over the last 20 years or so, they started to realize that sacred geometry is a very important part of the puzzle, you know. I remember years ago I used to talk about chakras and people would say, well, what's a chakra, you know, and it'd take me 20 minutes to tell someone what one was. Nowadays, people just recognize that, but that's okay. You know, we know that that's there. You talk about an aura and people know that they have a light field around them. Most people are okay with that. You know, even if they can't prove that it's there, they're happy to believe there's more than just the physical body. Nowadays, I think the next step in that is actually becoming accountable for that, actually deciding that, you know, it's our responsibility to upkeep that. And if we upkeep that so-called invisible part of ourselves, the visible part of ourself reaps the benefit. And it's, you know, I think we spent a long time talking about energy and vibration and frequency, and no one seems to say, well, where the hell does this stuff come from? You know, mm-hmm. And the answer to that is basically ordered and defined geometric substance. And that substance can be light. If light is actually ordered and structured in a truly geometric and perfected way, it generates more light. And that is the basis of the flower of life and the other higher sacred geometry principles that eventually someone could embrace so much, I suppose, mathematical understanding, if you wanted to put it that way, that the laws of the universe sort of unravel themselves. And just simply by, I suppose, designing and placing laws or lines and ley lines in certain ways inside the body, wholeness can be found. Well, the liquid crystals is a way to do that. And it is unlike anything else in the world. But I would say that because I played a role in creating it.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah,
that's a just thing to say.
So, just
I think the yeah.
Well, okay, no, go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you. I would love to ask you. You know, we kind of touched on this before, but you know, you said there's 77. Of these fantastic liquid crystals that are out there. And one of the things that I'm always fascinated on, and because we talked about this before, and I've gone and played around a little bit on your website, and it looks like you've done some really cool updates to your site this last time as well. But how do you go about saying, okay, I'm open to understanding a liquid crystal, I want to take something, but you know, which one do I pick? You know, because Justin told me, don't take all 77 at once. You need to take them, you know, with a little bit more intent. So what do people do if they're looking to do, you know, start out? Where do they go and what do they do?
But look, I mean, the it's probably the most common question. You know, you can instantly go into overwhelm when you've got 77 remedies. And believe me, as a practitioner, you know, we've got people practicing modality everywhere. And the very first thing that happens when they do their first level of course, they go in there and they go, oh, wow, there's, you know, 77 remedies. And then there's combinations on top of that, you know, and all of the remedies run into each other. And it's so overwhelming. It really is. But I think that the simplest thing to remember, and you know, I think being a naturopath and someone with a medical background, for me, the very first thing that I wanted to do with the liquid crystals was really make it as simple as possible where diagnosis is concerned. And the best thing, you know, I suppose, and I'll mention the website in a moment because there's ways to do it on the website, but one of the most simple things to do is to realize that what we've attempted to do in putting the modality together is bring it down to a single word so that every remedy comes back to something we call a simple purpose. And a simple purpose is, you know, for example, bloodstone's simple purpose is purification. So if someone is, you know, feeling particularly toxic, et cetera, they can take bloodstone and it begins the purification process. So that's one way to work with the liquid crystals, to actually choose a crystal based on its simple purpose. But I have to add there, Garrett, that you know, because we've designed the modality around simple purposes and single words, if someone was to read other books or other information, for example, on rose quartz, they're going to find a lot of stuff, and it's just another example, about love and loving yourself and loving other people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, rose quartz is a great example, so I'll explain that too in a minute. But with rose quartz, you know, for us, it's just the stone of forgiveness. And we would use every element of forgiveness is found in that remedy. So yes, you do find things that open the heart with rose quartz. You do find things that make you look at yourself, love yourself more, understand relationships. It's all in there. But the key word around all of those things is forgiveness. And it's funny, when I was writing the liquid crystal stuff up, you know, rose quartz has always really irritated me as a stone, you know, even when I have crystal shops, because everybody wants rose quartz, you know, and no one understands it. And amethyst is much the same, you know. Amethyst is the stone of humility. It's not the crystal you give to someone that's, you know, in a negative space or is in those types of zones. You know, here, have a look at yourself. You're not being humble at the same time as you're dealing with all that stuff in your life. You don't do that. Amethyst is a very powerful stone like that. So, and it's not a very spiritual stone. A lot of people think amethyst is a really, really spiritual stone. It's going to activate the third eye. It doesn't actually do that. It links the third eye to the base chakra and allows you to have insight into what you're actually doing in your physical world that isn't aligned with your spirit. So people get very, very confused about, I think, the way we use crystals. So I digress a little bit. When you're picking a liquid crystal, look at your simple purpose. With rose quartz, it's forgiveness. That's one way to use them. One of the side things with rose quartz, which was really entertaining, is rose quartz for me irritated me because with clairvoyant sight, when I actually look at the stone itself, it's actually a blue stone. And it's a really irritating thing to me because people constantly choose the stone because of its pink color. And I sort of think, well, it's the stone of forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't happen without communication, you know, and forgiveness doesn't happen without an open heart. And it's funny, you know, if you look at, for example, if we looked quickly at Ascended Masters, the Mother Mary, whenever she appears anywhere in the world, she appears either as a blue figure with a pink light around her or a pink figure with a blue light around her, one way or the other. There's always pink and blue involved, and the two play off each other in a really important way because the heart and the voice have to be open for forgiveness. And whenever we look at a figure of love or a being of motherhood or any being that actually represents that or anything that represents that, the blue and the pink have to actually be present. So with rose quartz, whenever I look at it, for me it's a blue stone. But the funny thing is, you know, if you were to actually dig just a little bit deeper where rose quartz is concerned, it's actually clear quartz with really, really fine fibers of another mineral inside it. And that other mineral is actually called dumortalrite. And the interesting thing is the stone of forgiveness, it is the stone, and the stone actually gets its color and everything it is from the blue mineral called dumortalrite that actually lives inside the stone. But to the human eye, because our light reflects off the blue fibers inside the quartz, we see it as pink. So
wow.
It's one of those things. I always laugh at the fact, however, that do mortal right is the pathway to forgiveness. And if you do right by mortals, you actually do find the pathway to forgiveness. And so, you know, whoever named that particular mineral many years ago, I often wonder, did they even know it was in rose quartz? But for us, you know, it's if you look at rose quartz, you look at these remedies, you look at their simple purpose first, have a look at those and say, well, is that something that I want in my life? The next way to do it, which is probably the simplest way, using symptomatology or diagnosis, is if you visit our website and go onto the shopping cart, there's a little search bar up in the top corner. And a lot of people think that's there so you can search products. Well, if you actually go on there and you actually type headache in there, it will actually bring up every liquid crystal that treats headaches. If you type grief in there, it will bring up every liquid crystal that treats grief. So it's more than just a search bar. It's actually a way, and you know, it's a way for practitioners to stay on top of their treatment, understand, you know, the deeper side of the remedies that they're working with and all the rest of it. So that's a really simple way of doing it. The other ways that we do it is we use people's first names. That gives us their frequency base. And a lot of people are funny on the name thing because they think, you know, over the years, and it's been a spiritual thing in many cultures, you know, where as people develop spiritually, they choose to change their name. I'm not particularly a big fan of that. You know, I think your name is you. It's a frequency, it's an energy. And not only that, but when we actually speak, we broadcast frequency, not outwardly, but inwardly to ourselves. So even when we were, you know, I could say for us as individuals, the strangest word you ever hear yourself say is your own name. You know, if you sit down and say your own name over and over and over again, it's actually a Buddhist process of actually uncovering and seeing the illusion of self. The more comfortable you are with saying your own name, the more spiritually you actually and the faster you develop spiritually. So it's, you know, I think your name carries a very important base. And I am a believer too that, you know, it's not necessarily your parents that choose your name. I believe you do, and you deliver that to your parents. They then call you by that, which to me is just a vibration. And, of course, vibration creates geometry. Geometry, for me, is a crystal, which means that every single person's name actually translates to a stone or a particular geometric recipe, which we can then translate to one of the 77 crystals. And, of course, that's a free service we do on our website. Anyone can go on there, they can put their first name in, see what their birth name crystal is. And in general, that's a very, very good place to start, you know, when you're looking at the liquid crystals, and if, particularly if you don't have any problems, if there's anyone out there that doesn't. But that's, you know, it's a good starting point. Another little trick with that too, which is, you know, something that a lot of people like to do, is when they're playing around with the name, you know, I guess, and putting it in and you're seeing different things come up, and you know, you'll go on there to do it yourself, you'll end up doing your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, aunt, uncle, and you'll find out a lot about why you relate to each other. And particularly too, you know, if you put your wife or your husband in there too, you might find out why maybe you don't relate to each other. But those sorts of things can really be indicated just by looking at the simple purpose of the crystal that pops up. It's also interesting if you've got nicknames, just little names that certain people call you. When you put those in, it shows you a different crystal based on that. And that can also indicate why that particular person calls you by that name when nobody else does. And it can be really enlightening to know why people have to call you by a certain word, because vibrationally it'll give off a different frequency and, of course, result in a different crystal. Where words create frequency like that, I mean, you know, numerology and along those lines too, we do translate the name into numerology. We work back from that and then plot it across the night sky, so to speak. So it's a very, you know, I wouldn't say it's a complex process, not by any measure, but it is based upon something that is very, very sacred. And that sacred thing is the cyclic order of the crystals. And I think another thing that I probably won't go into here because it's far too detailed is that each of the crystals actually follows each other in a sequence from 1 to 77. And I think I mentioned that in our last interview on here, but it's by doing that, I understand that if your birth crystal, for example, is number 56 in the sequence, that the next crystal you will need is crystal 55, 54, 53, 50. And we can work our way backwards through the sequence, which is basically working our way towards the more spiritual stones and working our way, you know, upwards through our own consciousness back to spirit. And by basically translating that effectively into a healing process, It also means that if I'm treating someone for migraine headaches, I generally know the next thing they will actually do with themselves. Because when we look at, we're using dioptase, once someone finishes those, you know, perhaps 28 days or 21 days and has a 7-day break with dioptase, they're then ready for their next mineral or their next crystal. And the best thing about being a liquid crystal practitioner is generally that crystal is the next crystal in the sacred order. And, you know, without even looking at the crystal, you could actually get your client in, sit them down, and begin to describe the crystal that you intend on giving to them. And it will have every symptom that they've recently just come across. It will have all of their mindset, their emotion. And they sit there and they go blank-faced in front of you and say, how do you know that that's going on with me? It is an amazing thing to watch people do. And when we've seen it work at very, very deep levels, it creates a massive change for people. And in the advanced levels of the modality, which surprised me nowadays, you know, I'm actually teaching the advanced course tomorrow night. And, you know, so all the advanced stuff is sort of fresh in my head. It starts popping up about the day before. So you'll have to forgive me if I'm wandering off into more detailed things. But it's when you start to get into those deeper levels and, you know, people start to identify different aspects of the work, you know, whereby instead of just working with, let's say, rose quartz, the animal that matches rose quartz is the dog, you know, and the essential oil is palmarosa. And you start to actually pull these things together from the different elements of nature, you know, and it's something I think that's been very overlooked in human society. You know, we're part of the human kingdom, so to speak. And for many, many years, people believed there was humans and there was angels, you know, and the Vedic kingdom was sort of thrown in there with the angelic kingdom as part of the angelic kingdom. And one of the reasons, or one of the bigger works that I came here to really push and have been pushing since, you know, I was born effectively, is that the Vedic kingdom, you know, is a very different kingdom to the angelic kingdom. And we understand that because there's no third component. And in all the directives of spirituality, there has to always be three. You know, we have love, power, and wisdom. We have angels, humans, and divas. You know, everything splits itself up. I don't know where the human race sort of wandered off and decided there was just humans and angels. You know, it defeats the purpose. And so effectively, a diva is an earth angel. And every aspect of creation in nature has some sort of identifiable consciousness that goes with it. The crystal divas or the master crystal divas are something also that we have tried to give back to humanity through the liquid crystals. Even their names, their ancient names in Atlantean, symbols to identify with them, focal points for meditation, different things like that, is the same as you guys, you know, going away and trying to meditate with Archangel Michael. It's just no one's ever actually sat down and tried to give you back all of the key divic beings. In our modality, we see the angelic kingdom, for example. Their counterpart in nature is the animal kingdom. So the angels and the animals go together. Therefore, angels usually send their messages via the animal kingdom. Humans on their highest level basically relate directly to the plant kingdom, and, of course, the highest aspects of the plant kingdom, which are the trees, and we link to those. And then, of course, you've got, you know, at the bottom there, you've got your Vedic kingdom, which are, and I say at the bottom because it's very earthy, very grounded. They're, of course, linked to the crystals and to the minerals of the earth. So when we actually use that as an aspect, we can see that the language of angels is usually through animals. The language of humans is usually through plants. You know, and we can see the way we use that. Herbal medicine goes back thousands of years. It's the only thing we've remembered about treating each other. And not only that, but if you love someone, you give them flowers and you give them aspects of nature. You don't arrive very often with an animal for them, and you certainly don't arrive, you know, with crystals very often, unless you're me, of course. And if you're doing that, you're providing the pathway of cure. But it's, you know, the correlation between humans, angels, divas, you know, animals, plants, and minerals. These kingdoms run side by side, and for some reason, and I hate to say it, but the reason primarily being religion, you know, I think a lot of the pagan ways, a lot of the more earthbound ways were sort of thrown out, you know, with the baby in the bathwater. And people sort of thought, well, you know, we'll talk about the angels and we'll stay with that. And they're the only winged ones. They're the only ones that work on that principle. Whereas the Davidic kingdom works from that principle too. And the idea of that is that something that generates its own life force or its own energy, you know, like a human being, we do it in four different ways. We do it up and down and we do it left and right. And by doing that, and they're the four ways, the left, the right, the up and the down, with the Davidic kingdom, they don't do it as much left to right as they do up and down. And with the angelic kingdom, they do the left to right. So effectively, every human being has the potential to be every angel and every diva. But to the Davidic kingdom, they are only Davidic. And to the angelic kingdom, they are only angelic. So effectively, the human race is made in the image of God, able to move light up and down and left to right. And by doing so, whether your specialty is up or down, you will relate strongly to crystals and more so to the Davidic kingdom. And if your tendency is to move light outwardly from yourself left to right, you will correlate and directly eventually move back more to the angelic kingdom. So we're supposed to find all those matches. We're supposed to know they all exist. And that's what the liquid crystals is about. It's about building the bridges between the information we've lost and the information that we still have, and gelling it together so people can sort of say, wow, well, I love that tree over there. And I want people to be able to say, well, that tree over there is this particular crystal and it's this particular animal. And they go, wow, well, I saw that animal yesterday at the zoo and now I'm standing in front of this tree and the only pendant I've got on is that particular crystal. I wonder whether there's a message in this, you know. And that's the way this thing works, you know. The subtleties in nature have to become common to the human race, so that the messages become more profound, more accurate, and more fundamental. We've let ourselves sort of miss things. You know, we literally have to be hit in the back of the head with a brick before we actually say, oh, that might be a sign, you know. And even then, they, you know, we look around to see who threw it. You know, it's crazy stuff. The smallest things are the most beautiful signs, and spirit doesn't drop bricks on people's heads. You know, it, constantly little tiny things, you know, it's... I had a beautiful American Indian man, actually, sitting here in the States, that taught me the entire world can be found in a falling feather. And that was his principle. You know, I meditated on that for a very long time, that what he was saying to me is that the messages of spirit are always so profound that they're in such small places, and all we have to do is open our heart enough. So it's, the human race has got it wrong. We think the messages have to be really, really big, and it's up to us to make them small. It's actually around the other way. Messages are really, really small, and it's up to us to make them really, really big. And you can only do that if you open your heart, and you open your mind, and you're really, really willing to actually be yourself. And I think the human race has sort of lost track of that. We've flipped a lot of those principles. So the liquid crystal is about trying to take all of the concepts, all these bits that are sort of sitting everywhere on the spider web, and bring it right the way back to the spider, because that way you change people's lives. But principally how you would choose a remedy. Use the website, use the information. Of course, you know, there's the Liquid Crystal Oracle as well, which I didn't mention, which has got, you know, 77 cards in it. You just simply sit with those cards, pull one out, see what comes out to you. And they are incredibly accurate. You know, the cards are absolutely everywhere. They're distributed by Llewellyn over there in the States, and I believe at the moment they're sold out, but there'll be more of those soon. They're on their way over there. Or so my publisher promises, anyway. But they are, you know, they're an amazing deck. And I think probably the funniest thing with those is that it's probably the only deck of cards in circulation. And if there are other ones, you know, I'm sure there are. But every aspect of those cards was done by myself. All of the artwork, absolutely every aspect of it. And that's this, I suppose, attitude that I have, that, you know, if you want something done properly and effectively, do it yourself. And when I was asked to do it, I'm not an artist by any stretch of the imagination, but I am very, very open to surrendering myself to process. And I did that, you know, and they were done on a computer. You know, they were done as computer-generated images. I used 11 different programs to make it happen, and still to this day, I've got no idea how to use any of those programs or work any of them. So it's, you know, and I've had graphic designers look at some of the images in the cards and go, wow, how did you do that? And I think, shit, I don't know. I don't think I could do it again. I haven't got a clue how that happened. you know, all of the colors match up. But the probably, and you know, you see the scope of your own work. And it still frightens me sometimes that every single card that was actually drawn, 77 different images, and they're very, very different. A lot of them are completely different, have one generic part to them in the center, which is supposed to be the diva itself positioned in the center of the card, and all the sacred frequencies of the card are supposed to be generated by the background and the color, of course, of that diva in the foreground. When I drew the cards, I had no idea that the cards can superimpose over the top of each other. And so now what the work has done, we've got 77 different minerals, and the next level of that work going up the pyramid is for those 77 crystals to become 33 crystals. And I thought to myself, oh, great, I'm going to have to go away and draw another 33 of these images. You know, they were the bane of my existence for so long. It was such hard work to sit down and actually discipline myself to constantly, you know, draw this, particularly when it's not what I do, you know. So I worked the way through that, and I thought, great, there's going to be another 33 of these things to do. And then I thought, well, there's supposed to be 77 of these, and that converts to three of those should become one crystal. What happens if I take those three images on the computer and superimpose them over the top of themselves? And what actually happens is they sit perfectly inside each other. All of the lines meet up, all of the colors superimpose, and the card becomes the color of the crystal that it represents out of the 33, which is, you know, you couldn't design it if you tried. You know, it's quite phenomenal. You know, I have days where I look at some of those cards of the next lot, the next 33, and I just look at them and just think, wow, you know, if you ever need a justification of what liquid crystals is or validity of it, you know, as a modality, this is not something I created. You know, just don't shoot the messenger. I'm just here to deliver as clearly and as quickly as I possibly can, you know, and when people say to me, oh, it's amazing that it does this or it does that or it does, you know, and I go, really, it does that? You know, people are constantly surprising me, you know. They sort of say, I applied it to this and this happened, you know. And I think, wow, yeah, no, that would happen. And, it's mind-blowing, you know. I mean, now when people talk about the Palladians and they talk about other star races, you know, and in the liquid crystals we've plotted it across the night sky, you know, using the cycle, and I can take the, you know, the Palladian star system, and we can actually give you a trinity or three crystals that will actually transport your consciousness directly to that space, you know, and that sort of stuff, you know, the human race is only just scratching the surface of. We believe we can do it through meditation. Well, imagine if you could do it by putting three drops out of three bottles under your tongue, sitting back for 10 minutes, and bang, you're gone, and then you're back. And you know, it's a reality in the high levels of the modality, and it's been mind-blowing to me to just watch it evolve, you know, into something that's really, really special. I think, you know, we have so many people from so many different modalities, from kinesiologists to doctors to color therapists, you know, to acupuncturists to acupressure people. We have everyone that uses the liquid crystals, but a fabulous acupuncturist that actually puts drops of liquid crystals onto the needles to penetrate the vibrational body and activate the meridians, you know, and he has amazing results. You know, we've got another gentleman on the south coast of New South Wales that trains racehorses, and he uses them with them, has an amazing ability with those, has an ability, and he's developed an ability more so even, that he can actually just touch people now and translate the symbol and the vibration into someone, and they shift instantly. And he's had amazing results whereby, you know, he can have someone that limps or has a difficulty in the body and can shift it by putting them on the table and actually allowing himself to become that crystal. So I guess what I'm saying is it's up to people out there to translate the works into the way they know it can work for them rather than for me to tell them how to use it. And it's really an exciting time at the moment because, you know, I'm a very patient person, and I actually decided that this would not go anywhere else in the world until Australia embraced it, because believe me, to get Australians to actually embrace something is a lot harder than getting anyone else in the world to actually embrace something, particularly a spiritual concept. Australians are very grounded, very skeptical. They want to know exactly how something works, why it would help them, you know, and so I think after, you know, 15 years or so of trying to put this in front of the Australian public, it's quite widely accepted here now. People actually understand this can really help them. still, unfortunately, practitioners are seeing people when it's too late. And that's a problem in complementary medicine. You know, we generally see people when orthodox medicine gives up on them and they're on their last legs, and they come and see us and sort of say, you know, I've had cancer for 5 years and I've done chemo and I've done all these things, can you help me? And you think, wow, if you'd have come to see me 4 years ago, yeah, I could really have helped. But now 5 years down the track, we can try, but orthodox medicine does so much damage to people with big illnesses, you know, and you've then got to combat everything that's been done through the treatment. And it's a really big ask. So if I had a message to anyone out there, you know, if you are actually suffering from an ailment and it's been defined as a big ailment, always remember that, you know, the littlest things can help and can fix things. Don't get pushed and shoved around the medical systems so much so that you forget what you really believe in. And after all, it is your own belief and your own love of self that's going to cure you from any illness. Everything else out there is only going to help you to realize that love you have for yourself. And until that happens, healing won't occur. So, you know, always remember the catalysts are in place. We've got all of these wonderful modalities presenting themselves, not just the liquid crystals. There are many, many vibrational things now and other options that are available to people. Make sure we take them, huh, before we actually try everything orthodox first. There's nothing wrong with taking a liquid crystal at the same time as you're going through chemo. So it's, you know, and these are the things that people, I think, we're just starting to wake up to. You know, we're starting to sort of say, wow, complementary means it's complementary. It's going to work with everything. It doesn't mean do everything orthodox and then come and see us, you know, when you can barely move. So always remember that aspect of the work too.
So, Justin, real quick, I want to make sure everybody knows that whether you're listening today, tomorrow, or in the future, Justin's talking about information that you can find on his website, theliquidcrystals.com. Again, theliquidcrystals.com. And if you're listening to the show on Westar Radio Network in the United Kingdom on your drive time home today, again, it's theliquidcrystals.com. If you're listening on Rated G Radio on the blog talk format, on the show page, there's an actual link to Justin's website. You could just click that anytime during the show, and it will take you right there, and you can see all of this really cool stuff that he's talking about here. Justin, we've got about 10 minutes left in the show tonight. Can I ask you real quick to re-explain to the listeners how you take liquid crystals and why you have them in 7 and 3-drop doses? Does that tie into the 77 and the 33?
Yeah, of course. In the quickest way, your dosing is done in two different ways. And in the liquid crystals, they always laugh at me in courses because, when you're dealing with a vibrational modality, people have their own idea of things. You know, I come across, a lot of illusion. People are lost in a lot of, you know, they've got a guide that they've been listening to their whole life or whatever. And I stress whatever because sometimes it fascinates me. They can be in the same room as me, and I wrote it. I've dedicated my whole life to putting it together. But for some reason, they know more about how to take them than I do. And I think, you know, if people understood the fundamental basis of the dosing, which is very, very simple, they would never sway from the 3 or 7-drop dose. So in the liquid crystals, you've got a 7-drop dose and a 3-drop dose. The 3-drop dose is an acute dose. It's basically a quick hit or a vibrational taste of the remedy. It will uplift someone. It gives them a really quick push in the direction that they've chosen for themselves, but it is short term. So, for example, if someone was taking dioptase for headaches and for other aspects like that, and I'll stay with that remedy because we've been talking about it all day, if someone's taking that and they want to, in the long term, be rid of migraine headaches and not have those headaches anymore, they take a 7-drop dose morning and night, and then throughout the day, if a migraine does present, they can take as many 3-drop doses as they actually need to throughout the day. And what that does is it actually pulls and makes more profound or more prevalent the vibration, so that as someone is actually every 3-drop dose, they're getting a little push, a little shove back to, this is a migraine, this is what I don't want, you know. And the 3-drop dose is incredibly useful like that. Really good with kids and anything like that because kids assimilate the vibration so, so fast. But to get permanent cure, we always use the 7-drop dose. Now, the 3-drop dose is related to love, power, and wisdom. There's a drop for each one, and in the core of our being, we actually have the threefold flame, which is love, power, and wisdom, and they overlap each other to make us whole. So whenever we treat ourselves at a vibrational level, we need something usually or something should be divisible by three. If it's not divisible by three, it has to be whole as one. If we go to four, things start to go wrong. If we go to five, you can get away with it, but it's kind of tricky. Once you get to six, it becomes difficult again. And seven is the next number of power or the balanced power, whereby you get two threes and a single being in the center. So when we move to seven as a drop, we use seven drops principally that relates to the rays of creation. Anything that is going to change a physical person has to activate a person in seven different degrees of vibration and physical and emotion and mental self. So basically, when you take seven drops of a liquid crystal, you're taking a drop, effectively, in the way we discuss it as human beings, anyway, a drop for the base chakra, a drop for the sacral, a drop for the solar plexus, for the heart, for the throat, for the third eye, and then for the crown. And by doing so, the whole body is actively in charge of making change actually occur. If we do six, we miss out on one degree of ourselves. If we do five, we miss out on one degree of ourselves. And so people become, you know, I think in any form of medicine, I've always used threes and sevens. It doesn't directly relate to the 77 or 33 or anything like that. It, you know, there's no direct correlation. But seven and three are the numbers of healing. And the only other seven and three that plays out in our healing system is that we generally recommend someone takes a remedy, seven-drop doses, morning and night, to basically the three-drop doses in between whenever they need to, for 21 days. All change for a human being takes exactly 21 days. And basically after 21 days, we recommend people come off the remedy and sit for 7 days, whereby the body gets to hold the frequency itself. And it gives the body the opportunity to be that crystal without having any influence whatsoever. At that time, over those 7 days, that's usually where big changes happen. When people are treating themselves with liquid crystals, the first week is usually pretty quiet. The second week is a bit of a nightmare. Things start to come up and they start to have little realizations. In week three, everything goes quiet again. And then in that last week, 21 to 28 day period, everything seems to come up and basically resolve itself. So it's one of those things. And, you know, a lot of people ask about repeat dosing too. You know, if I take a bottle or a remedy for 21 days and have a 7 day break, do I ever need to take that crystal again? Well, yeah, you do. You know, it's, you know, I took ruby as a single crystal for 5 or 6 years, you know, and I'm still gaining out of that remedy because every time I work with ruby, I go to a deeper level, to a, you know, a different level that I've never worked with within that aspect. Ruby representing the spiritual warrior. You know, you can never know too much about being a spiritual warrior. You can only learn more and more about how to combat different aspects of spirituality on different levels. And I think, you know, it's really useful to be able to go level after level after level. And again, I think that's something that's quite individual to the liquid crystals. You would never do that in herbal medicine. You know, you're not going to get that same spiritual evolution.
And my last question will be, because we talked about this earlier, because you're teaching a class tomorrow night. You actually teach a couple of different workshops to help people become a practitioner of liquid crystals. Can you talk briefly about the courses that you offer?
Yeah, I mean, look, there are a lot of different things that we do. At the moment, the liquid crystal teaching or the liquid crystal courses themselves about the modality are divided up into two different levels. The first level is just familiarizing yourself with all the remedies, the processes, a lot of the stuff that I've talked about, you know, probably in the last interview with you on here. Mm-hmm. The more advanced things start to involve the animals, the stars, you know, the essential oils, matching all of those up, certain places on the body where crystals work, other things like that. But the two levels of teaching are quite thorough. You know, I think if you were to put the two courses together, which incidentally I'm going to do for the first time ever, and I'm really looking forward to doing it actually, that's coming up in about 4 weeks' time in Melbourne. I'm going to run something I'm calling the Masterclass, where for an entire week people are going to be annoyed by me every night and then for a whole weekend. So God help them. I don't know how they're going to go through it. But I think at the moment the notes for that little number are up around, ooh, 550 different pages. So
wow.
It's a big ask. You know, it's a very thorough modality. When people sort of talk about, You might want to go and learn massage, or you do things like that. You know, there's only so many things you can learn, you know, and I've studied a lot of different modalities, done a lot of different things, and I'm still surprised by the scope of the liquid crystals. I think the best thing about it is that none of us set out to actually teach you anything. We just set out to remind you about something you already know. And the teaching evolves inside someone. You know, it's everyone that does a level one course, and I have some fabulous, really, really good facilitators all around Australia that teach the modality, and they do the level one courses now because I find it very hard to talk about the basic stuff. I wander off into 1,000 different topics if I do it. but you get like that eventually. It becomes very, very hard. But they all teach from their perspective, and that was always a dream of mine too, to have other people lecture the modalities so that, you know, you could go and do it with a woman that has, you know, an Indian background, or you can go and do it with a man that has a different background, and therefore you get their scope on the same message, you know, and the same thing, and that's a very valuable thing. So subsequently what we do is we make it very cheap for people to resit the courses. So once someone does a course with us, you know, they can seek out any one of those other facilitators and sit the course again for a very, very, I think it costs $100 Australian to redo it. And they can do the whole weekend for that, sit in on it, get everything out of it that everybody else does, you know. And what that means is our practitioners are very, very competent. They've heard the message many different ways, which is what I want them to be able to do, because every person they encounter that needs help is going to be completely different. And it's very valuable in that respect. And I think I guess that's where the modality is concerned, and where the liquid crystals really works its magic, is that we make it affordable. You know, this thing's really cheap to give to someone. You know, a bottle of liquid crystal, I think on our website at the moment, we charge about $10 Australian. You know, we're not telling you it's going to cost you thousands of dollars to heal yourself. And that one bottle can change your entire life.
Wow.
We've just put our prices up to $10. You know, that's actually a big price increase for us.
Well, it's well worth it.
Just I think for 15.
Are the courses something that you actually teach in person in a, you know, like in a classroom setting in Australia, or is it something that the people around the world could take if they wanted to do like a webinar type of an experience?
Yeah, at this stage, it's stuff that we do, you know, hands-on in person.
Okay.
and make happen like that. I'm working at the moment trying to actually organize for the masterclass that I've just spoken about, which would be level one and level two all put together, so the entire liquid crystal modality, to be filmed and become a DVD series that can then go out there as a correspondence course to people. That's certainly in the works, and I believe that'll be happening later on this year. So, but for people that are interested in what I teach or the way that I teach, you know, I've just released a DVD on dolphins and whales and working with them, which again is just a side sort of passion of what I do. But it gives people an idea of the way I teach, you know, some of the principles I teach from and things like that. It gives people the opportunity to see what I look like rather than just listening to my annoying voice all the time.
Well, I could listen to you for hours and hours and hours. And everybody, it's been Justin with theliquidcrystals.com. For more information, check out his website. Play around with some of the tools on there. I think that you'll find that this is really fascinating. I spent probably a good 2 hours after our last show just exploring on the site. And it looks like you've done some other great updates since that time. So I'm going to go play around tonight as well and get an order in or two to do that. Justin, we got about a minute left. Any last thoughts for the listeners that are hearing you either for the first time or as a repeat tonight?
Yeah, look, I think the only thing that, you know, I don't sort of cover in these two interviews, or I haven't really gone through, is the fact that the modality has moved now to its new level, which we refer to as the Star Child Directives. And the Star Child Directives is basically an evolution of the liquid crystals. It's probably less important for people that don't know the original modality, but it is geared directly towards children, and particularly children in need. You know, those kids that are really suffering from misunderstanding, and people that just really don't understand how to work with kids. You know, the kids that, you know, I guess are being misdiagnosed with ADD and all sorts of weird and wonderful names for just normal children that have gifts, you know, and the Star Child Directives represent 33 different remedies, and are that next tier up in the mineral kingdom. They as well are listed, you know, on the website, and there's actually a whole section on our website dedicated to children. And if you go on there, you can have a little play. We've got tools that allow you to match animals to crystals and symbols to crystals and things like that. Certainly something worth playing with, but we also have our Star Child Directive tool on there. And that, again, is something that's just something you might want to, you know, have a little play with. If you've got kids and you're out there and you're sort of thinking, well, I've tried everything else, this might be something you want to try. And in the coming sort of months, we'll be making that work more available online and making it, you know, a lot easier to navigate for people. But that's, you know, I guess that lets you know the evolution of what we're actually doing. But as far as everything else concerns, it's all good, yeah.
Right on. Everybody, we're out of time, so join us tomorrow. And for more information, go check out Justin's website, theliquidcrystals.com. Go buy something. Go check it out and change your life for the better. Justin, it's been a pleasure, and I can't wait to visit with you again. Thank you so very, very much for your time today. You have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Garrett. Lovely to be on, mate. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Have a good
day, everybody. You've been listening to Rated G Radio.